Hello.
Okay. It's wonderful to be here. I think it's my, I don't know, fourth or fifth time in Indonesia. Last week I was in Ethiopia, last week. So this week I'm in Indonesia. So, and then I had to go to U.S. for one day between because that's cheaper flight. For some reason, if you do round trips, it's cheaper. It's like $2,000. But if I came from Ethiopia to here, it would have been like $3,000. So, okay, I'll go back. So my biological clock is really weird right now. But I think I had a good couple nights of sleep. So I feel okay. Wonderful to be here. I think this is my third time to your church. First time to this campus, right? Third time to your church. First time to this campus. You know, I've known Pastor Andrew for a long time, I guess, ever since he was a, you know, young guy in college. You know, a lot of stories about him, I guess, but, you know, gonna conserve, save that for some time. If I need something, then I'll use it. Wonderful to be here, and we'd like to spend today, I'll be speaking 2.5 times today, I guess, this morning and night, and prayer time, like, you know, shorter message. But it might be long to you, but it's shorter for, short for me. Tomorrow, Sunday, and we're done. But I believe God will do a lot of work within our hearts. You know, retreat like you have every year. Often it can be a one-time year experience, but we can pray in such a way that this can be a lifetime, life-changing experience for hopefully all of you, but definitely some of you. It'll be a life-changing experience if you listen to God's word and let it sink into your mind and heart, and it will change you in such a way that, you know, you'll remember this moment, you'll remember this day, that some God has done something wonderful in your life. I believe for some of you that will happen. This morning, I'd like to go into the title of the message. You have the outlines, right? You have the outline. Healing Touch, Mark chapter 5, verses 20 through 34. It's about a woman that has a bleeding problem. Okay. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 20 through 34. Here we go. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. So he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. So it took 5 verses in our text for this woman to come in, because Jesus was going somewhere to heal an official's daughter, important person in town, his daughter. And it turns out that she's going to die and he's going to raise her from death. But in between this, she sneaks in the life of Jesus, as well as sneaks in the Bible. Right? And she's written in the Bible forever, right? Word of God will last forever. And then for thousands of years, people have been talking about her because she's, you know, sneaks in to receive the power of God. Not really important person, just, you know, a woman. She's not even named here. But she teaches, probably taught throughout a couple thousand years of history, taught many, many people about faith. Here we go, verse 24, and he went with him, and a crowd great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman, not even unnamed, right? Not even named, who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. I thought this was nose bleeding, you know, when I was younger. Wow, bleeding for 12 years from her nose. That's kind of rather uncomfortable, but just put something in your nose. But this is not that kind of bleeding problem, but different kind of bleeding problem. If you don't know that, ask Pastor Andrew after the message. But this is women problem, right? You usually have it, you know, this problem once a month, but this is for 12 years continuously, once a month for a week, but 12 years. Wow. Anyway, woman had a discharge of blood for 12 years, chronic menstrual disorder, and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For he said, if I touch even, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Amen. We'll look at a couple videos so that you won't fall asleep. You know, I preach long, but, you know, I don't really preach. It's going to be about an hour, but I don't really preach long in comparison to the history of Christianity because, you know, there was a period of time, normal length of the sermon was like 2 hours when Jonathan Edwards, when he became the president of Princeton, he preached like 2 hours, and the description of the people that were listening to the Word of God was they were on the edge of their seats, and after it was over, they said, it's over already, like after 2 hours. And if you read his sermon, my goodness, it will take 2 hours to preach this content of sermon. But then you may say, that's Jonathan Edwards. You're not Jonathan Edwards, so you know, preach short. But you know, there was a period of time in history that a couple hours was normal because they had no social media, they had no TV, and you know, they had nothing else to do, so you listen to the sermon, and you know, that's good. You got a lot of other things to do, but we need to change the normality of Christianity. Amen? What is normal for Christians? You know, what is normal? You got to, more you change the normal Christianity, you're going to grow. So I'm here to change the norm of your church, and so that when you go back to next week and Pastor Andrew preaches, you'll appreciate him. Oh, you only preach like 45 minutes. Because I'm going to make sure you feel bored. But anyway, we'll see how it goes here. Anyway, it'll be about an hour, but it'll have a couple of video clips, two or three. I don't know, between one to three. I have like three clips, but between one to three, we'll see. But we'll see definitely one of them here. It's about this kid whose idol, soccer idol, is Messi. You know, I don't know if you know. You know Messi? He's one of the best soccer players in the world. But anyway, it's about him, one of the refugee kid who loves soccer. Go, let's watch this. Well, I hope that you want to be with Jesus as much as the boy wants to be with Messi. But we have a hero unlike any others. And he can make us, you know, he can only give him a jersey and memory, but Jesus can make us whole. Jesus can heal us. We have a hero unlike any others. He can only give him the clothes, external clothes, but Jesus can give us, spiritual clothes, righteousness of Jesus Christ when we spend time with him. And I pray that you would want to spend time with him throughout this retreat. Here's a woman who wanted to be with Jesus, uninvited. She just sneaks up and steals the power of Jesus Christ. So here's a woman who wanted to be with Jesus. She had a bleeding problem. Why, you know, bleeding problem? As we look into the scripture, you know, when you're bleeding in this kind of condition as a woman in the Old Testament, you're considered unclean. Don't worry, you don't have to worry right now, because in the New Testament, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus fulfilled all the laws that, you know, you don't have to worry about that right now in the New Testament time. But in the Old Testament, you know, it was, you're considered unclean. Why was that unclean? Because it has to do with birth, right? Same thing with men. If you're uncircumcised, you're unclean. So same thing with, to do with birth. Well, basically, the Bible is saying, if you sin, sin transfers. Even during the time when she touched somebody in a bleeding problem, she touched somebody, those things become unclean. If she touches the dish becomes unclean. If somebody eats with that dish, they become unclean. So, you know, God institutes these laws so that we can see the reality of spiritual realm. And he's giving us law about this, relating to birth, relating, giving us men about circumcision, you know, giving us that through birth we can transfer sin. Right? When we bear children, we are sinners, so when we bear children, our children is born as sinners. And then sin transfer, we affect others. Other people's sin affect us. People abuse us and we abuse other people. Our sin affect other people. And then they get angry or upset and they sin, right? So sin transfers. People, you spend enough time with sinners, you become sinners. Or you become better sinners. Or, I don't know, worse sinners, if you want to put it. But God is teaching us the reality of spiritual realm through these laws. Sin transfers, and sin transfers to our children. Two parents who are sinners bear children. You have sin. Give birth to sinners. So your parents were sinners, and many of you know that. My goodness, they're sinners, right? But you are sinners too. You are a sinner too. And then when you have children, you'll bear sinful children. So we got to stop this cycle through Jesus Christ. We need to give spiritual birth, not just physical birth. Impact them with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can stop this cycle of giving birth to sin, and so that we can, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we can give birth, disciple others, right? Give birth to spiritual children in Jesus Christ. So that not only do we affect others through our sins, but affect others spiritually so that they can grow in Jesus Christ. So, you know, many of you have tough time or tough year, tough day, tough weekend, tough last hour, and so you feel discouraged. It's been a while. You're so busy. I heard many of you are working in companies and working in this wonderful city. That means they probably work you like dogs. You know, they just drive you. There's a reason why they give you money. You know, they make sure it's worth it. So, it's very difficult working culture, doing things in life. Some of you may be parents, you know, raising sinners. I have 5 children. They're evil, all evil. They're all selfish. And, you know, it's difficult to raise children. It's difficult to minister to a church. You know, difficult to fight my own heart as a sinner. So many of us might be discouraged and having a difficult time, but we always have hope in Jesus Christ. He'll forgive us, strengthen us, and renew us, and he will get back into the battle, and so that we can serve God and live for the Lord and shine the light of Jesus Christ. And we always have hope in Jesus Christ, because just like this woman, we can touch Jesus and receive healing, and then we can serve him like this woman who has made difference for thousands of years for others. So HMCC, come with me. Do not quit. Ask for strength. Keep on walking. It's hard, but you're never alone. It's going to be worth it. So let's go towards Jesus today. I hope that just like this woman, you touch Jesus through faith, and you're going to receive his healing power so that you can serve the Lord and live for him. Amen? So 3 things as we look into this passage. If you look at the outline, basically 3 phases of this woman's interaction with Jesus. three phases. First is before the touch. Touch is important. When she touches, she's going to receive the healing. She's going to receive the power, right? So first of all was before the touch. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. Before what she does so that we can prepare ourselves before the touch, before touching Jesus. And then secondly, during the touch, right? When she touches, something happens. Something incredible happens. You know, nobody probably, you know, everybody was there and she just touched Jesus and that's what all it happened externally, right? But we know that something amazing, something unbelievable happened, which this passage talks about, gives us insight through a description of what had happened in the spiritual interaction. So during the touch, we're going to talk about that. And then thirdly, after the touch, very simple. And it's all nicely divided into that. After touch, in verse 30 to 34, what happens? Jesus, power is gone out. Jesus, okay, Jesus, who stole my power? He didn't say that, but who touched me, right? And then she was like, so scared. And we're going to talk about this. Why Jesus asked that question and what happens. So before, during, after. Amen? All right. We didn't even go into the sermon yet. Well, it's been a while, but that's how it's going to be. You know, let's raise the norm. Amen? How long is a soccer game? 2 hours. How long is a football game? How long is a baseball game? How long is Lord of the Rings? How long is the movies? Sermon is going to be less than a movie. Okay? Unless it's a short film or something like that. But it's going to be, I'm going to try to keep it under 2 hours. So it's going to be shorter than a movie, but let's heed our attention to the mighty King, God of the universe, who wants to speak to us and change us forever. Can we hear amen? All right, let's go. Let's get to work here. Before the touch. Before the touch. You look at three things in the outline there. First of all, she, before the touch, talking about the woman. She had desperate needs. In verse 25, it says there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. You keep going, keep going. Yeah, keep going. Yep, that right there. All right. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Again, chronic menstrual disorder. This is uncomfortable for any woman in history, but for Jewish women at that time, this is before, this is written in the New Testament, but they were still following the laws of the Old Testament because this is pre-death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? So she was considered as unclean. Whatever she touched becomes unclean. So that means for 12 years, she couldn't really serve at home. She couldn't really be functional domestically because if she touches the dish and she someone eats with it, it becomes unclean because dish becomes unclean when she touches. So domestically, she was useless. Socially, she had a difficult time because she had to be really careful just being with people because accidentally you touch somebody, they become unclean. They had to spend a lot of money to cleanse themselves, you know, kill animal, bring it to temple, all these things, and you could be sued for something like this. Obviously, sexually, she couldn't not touch her husband, right? That means maternally, probably didn't have children for like 12 years. Spiritually, this was the most difficult thing. Spiritually, you are not doing, if you have discharge of blood as a woman, you could not enter into the temple during this time until you are cleansed. So obviously, she had, for 12 years, domestically, socially, sexually, maternally, spiritually, she had a difficult time. Basically, she was basically useless as a woman. You know, and you can see how she sees herself, and spiritually so dry. For 12 years, no worship, no other believers, no other people. So she had desperate need. Second thing about her in verse 26 is that, it says, verse 26, who had suffered much under many physicians. Keep going. Yeah, right there. She went to many doctors, but no one could cure her. Humanity is like the human beings. We go to, you know, somebody, something, different religion, different kinds of things, so that those things can give us highest pleasure or, you know, worthwhile life. I think people are looking for basically two main things when I talk to people, whether it's there in Africa or Asia or America, Korea. You know, people are either looking for happiness, maximum happiness, which is really the most popular thing. Everybody's seeking for happiness. Happiness or just worthwhile life, you know, So that when you look back after 20 years, you look back after 30 years, that you would not regret. You go, wow, that my life was worth it. I made difference in my life. So either you're looking for happiness or just maximum impact in your life. No one can give that according to the Bible except Jesus Christ. I believe, you know, even though temporarily, let's say you are so successful, you get everything that you want in this life, but that's for 80, 90 years, that's it. Nothing you do for yourself you can take away from this world. Only thing you can take after this world, only thing take get out of this world into the next world is what you do for Jesus Christ. Okay? That means you can be happy for 80 years, but you're going to live eternally. So if you are seeking for the eternal happiness, right, Jesus Christ. If you're looking for eternal impact, nothing you do will make impact in other people except what you do for Christ to other people. Right? So happiness and impact, this is what we're talking about. This passage is talking about you need to live for Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, she suffered under many physicians. People go to different kinds of physicians in this world. Right? Doctor pleasure, hoping that will give them happiness. Doctor intelligence, hoping that you know, if I'm smart, if I get all the degrees in this world, that these things can help me to make impact in this world. Doctor religion, hopefully I'll have eternal life through other things, impactful life through those things. Different religions, there's no one can cure you spiritually. No matter what you do, what you touch becomes sinful because you're doing it for yourself, selfishly for your own glory. Only Dr. Jesus, who is the greatest physician, can heal us in such a way it will give us maximum happiness in our lives and maximum impact in our lives. Another thing about her, verse 26 through 28, she had nothing more to spend. Keep going. All right, you're getting used to it now. All right, Mark 5, 26, she spent all she had. You know, sin drains you. Drains your background count, drains your blood. You're bleeding. Whenever you're sinning, there's a slow leak throughout your life until you die. That's what happens apart from Jesus Christ. Why do we have to be sexually pure before marriage? Because if you have a sexual relationship before marriage, what happens is that you become less pure. You're draining your purity that you need for marriage. In marriage, when you're pure, you unite with your spouse. Stick, because marriage is about unity, so that can picture the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's like a scotch tape, right? You keep sticking to different things, you lose the sticking power. Sexual purity is like that. More and more you have sexual relationship apart from marriage, slowly you drain your purity. That's what happens. Of course, you can repent and be restored. Okay? You need serious repentance and restoration, otherwise there'll be just different kinds of consequences. There's always consequences to sin. You can be forgiven, but doesn't mean you're negated with consequence of your sin. God makes sure there's still consequence of sin so that we would hate sin. We would not, even though after we are forgiven, we would not abuse grace, we would go back to our sin. But there's always consequence to sin. Sometimes God negates the consequence, but often consequences remains so that we would not sin, we'll be afraid of sin. But you can be forgiven, and you can be restored. Right? And promiscuity and premarital sexual relationship drains your purity that you need so for amazing marriage that pictures the gospel. Same thing, not just sexual purity, but sin in general drains you, your image of God that you need, to picture what Jesus Christ is like, what God is like. So this picture of her bleeding is picture of sinners, right? We are being drained of our purity, drained of our image of God that we need to serve Jesus, live for Jesus Christ, worthwhile life in this world. Well, is there hope for her? There it is, verse 27, 28. Do we see it? Yeah, there we go. It says, she had heard the report about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. So it generated in her hope. He can cure me. He can take care of my problem. It generated in her. That's why even though you are witnessing, trying to witness to somebody, of course, build relationship and all these things, and when the time comes, you talk about Jesus, light way, small way. You may answer some question, apologetic question, you know, questions that they have, clear out those things, but you know, keep talking about Jesus in one way or another. Then what happens is that even though they might not, you know, convert right away, if it's in there, when the time comes, they would want to come to Jesus. She heard about Jesus before, so somewhere in there, it may not be immediate, but somewhere in there, she comes to see Jesus Christ. Our job is to talk about Jesus and plant it in there. I call it time bomb principle. When you win the time bomb principle, just plant it in there. It's just a matter of time. Keep praying, and then one day, boom, explodes and destroy all their sin. You know, this not the person, but destroy all their sin. So plant time bomb principles. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a few years later when they hear about Jesus. Sometimes it's right before their death, just like the thief on the cross, right? Right before their last breath. Maybe it was before their last breath and sees Jesus because he heard about Jesus. He goes, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And then he's saved 1 second before hell. He received Jesus Christ. So there's always hope while you're alive, but plant the message of Jesus so that one day Holy Spirit will use those messages and then plant it in there. Time bomb destroys the unclogged path into the heart. Gospel, whoa! Heart comes alive. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. So she heard about Jesus and it generated in her hunger. Hunger. Sign of spirituality is hunger. Right? If you're dead, no hunger. So because when you're sick, no hunger. You're not hungry. You don't want to eat. But as soon as you're slowly getting healthier, what happens? You started to get hungry. I guess you know about hunger, right? After all the fasting, and some of you cheated, didn't do it, but, you know, after you fast, you're hungry, just like that, right? She was hungry for Jesus. And what was she thinking? 28, if I even touch his garments, I will be made well. Wow. She believed in Jesus in so much. If I just touch his garment, I will be made well. It's not like, oh, he has to, like, come and, you know, do something. Pray for me for an hour. If I just touch even his garment, I'll be made well. I want to talk about humanity here, but here. This is just a passage of, keep going. This is just, right there. This is just the one miracle between, in this passage, chapter 4, chapter 5. 4 series of miracle consecutively written in the Bible and in this passage, and it's just the third one, disease, right? Jesus, you know, calms a storm, nature. His power over nature is shown in that miracle. Second miracle, Jesus casts out demons. His power of demons is mentioned in chapter 5. His power over disease is mentioned in this passage. And then that Jairus' daughter, he's going to raise from the dead. So power over death is mentioned in next passage, right? But why these 4 miracles? You have to understand the Bible the way it's meant to, you know, convey. You don't just read a passage and think you understand the Bible. No, you have to, when, this is part of Mark, right? When Mark writes the Bible, he thinks about the whole thing in 16 chapters, and he's writing one chapter in there. So you have to understand the context to understand deeply what it really means. And these 4 miracles are written in chapter 4 and 5, because it shows Jesus' power over these things. Why these 4 things? Because in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sin, it's related to these 4 things, right? When Adam and Eve sin, God comes and says to Adam, your ground is cursed because of you. So something happened to the nature and the earth. Natural disasters started to come in because it shows the rebellion against man was, had a dominion over the world, but now because they were in rebellion against God, God gives consequence of rebellion, world's rebellion against man, right? So natural disasters start to come in there. And then Satan comes and, you know, speaks and men believed Satan more than God, right? Satan's words more than God. So they became, man became submissive under demons. And then death comes in because, death and disease comes in because God said, if you sin, you will surely die. They should have been dead right away, right? And hell, what happened? They didn't. They only physical death came in. And even physical death, it was slow death. They lived, what, Adam lived 930 years. So it took 930 years for them to physically die. But why physical, institutional physical death? To show that they are slowly dying for spiritual death. To show that, right? Show the glimpse of the, illustrate that physical death. So as you're getting older, sometimes you get older, you get sick, you slowly, second law of thermodynamics coming, right? Everything deteriorates, so is your body. And then slowly you die to show that God is saying, hey, sin causes sickness, death, ultimately spiritual death. So before you die, you got to receive Jesus Christ. So to warn people, death, sickness and death came in. Warn them of the spiritual death. So it was God's grace, actually, sickness and death comes in instead of them going into hell right away. It was God's grace. So that slowly as you get sick, oh, I need Jesus. Slowly as you're dying, I need Jesus. When you see other people's death, I need Jesus. When you see natural disaster, wow, I'm, what is it? I need Jesus Christ. So, you know, nature, demons, disease, death related to Genesis 3. Right? All these problems in this world came in because of sin. Jesus comes in and shows power over all these four things, saying, I am the Messiah. I am Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in me, I have power over all these things. So it shows that Jesus Christ has came to reverse the curse of Adam as a second Adam, last Adam. Jesus came to reverse the curse of this world so that we can be blessed, eternally blessed in Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you with me still? So, just all these miracles, whether it's casting out demons or healing disease or even raising the dead, only few people were raised from death in history, right? He's showing just a glimpse of what is coming. Ultimately, all the natural disasters, whole earth will be restored. Ultimately, all the demons and Satan will be casted into hell. Disease gone. No more death. He will wipe away all our tears. Ultimately, all these things will happen. Ultimate victory of Jesus Christ will be shown when he comes for the second time. But until then, between the first and second coming Christ, he's just showing glimpse of it so that we can put our faith in him. We can be healed. We can give this message to the weak people so that he would just illustrate what is coming in eternity. So, I think some of you, I don't know if you're sick physically here, maybe some of you may be physically healed. We don't know. You could. God, so that God will, through you, show glimpse of how eternal healing that's coming in Jesus Christ. Not all of you may be healed if you're sick. Some of you might be. But all of you can be spiritually restored through the word of God. Spiritual healing will take place. One degree to another, you're going to get better. You're going to get healthier. You're going to come alive in Jesus Christ. Can we hear amen to that? I feel like some of you are already coming alive. Some of you are already falling asleep, but, you know, some of you are already coming alive. So some encouragement, principle, of thinking about this first. A few things. Keep going. Yeah, encouragement. Keep going. All right. A few things here. Always choose the path of faith. Because so many times you want to quit. What is this all about? Hey, no matter where you are, right? You can always be forgiven. You can always be restored. You can always be cleansed. You can always receive strength in Jesus Christ. Because apart from Christ, you're bleeding. You're losing blood. Blood is a symbol of life. There's slow leak in life. You're losing your time. Time that you can use for God. You are losing your chances to serve Christ and witness to other people. You're losing your image as you're sinning. Image of God that is implanted in you.
that to picture him, to serve him, to honor him, to show him. You are losing, incredible opportunity to live for him, to become like Christ in this world, right? Slow, there's slow leak, but always choose path of faith. Always run to Jesus Christ. Receive forgiveness and receive strength and keep going. Some of you are going through some dark times, but the dark room, darker the room, the greater need for the light, right? The world may be dark, but as you are strong, as you become stronger, become brighter, you're going to shine the light of Jesus Christ in the world. And another thing is anyone can come. Pastor Min, you don't know what I'm like. I'm nothing. You don't know what kind of sinful life I've been living. Well, remember, she was not the main character even in this passage. Jesus was going to heal an important person in town, his daughter, Jairus' daughter, important official. And on the way, here's unnamed, nobody, right? Jairus' name is mentioned, but her name is not mentioned. Nobody comes and touches and receives the power of Jesus Christ. I think the point is anyone can come to Jesus at any time, and he's willing to release his power to you. You got to learn to touch Jesus in faith. Show gesture of faith. That's another thing. Verse 27 says, she had heard the reports about Jesus, and all she did was touch his garment. Can we all do this? Look at me, please. I know, sorry, you have to look at me, but look at me, please. Just do this. Right, just do this. Everybody do this. Right now, come on. Anybody can do that, right? Anybody can do that. That's all you have to do. What I'm saying is, you don't even have to do that, right? You just have, okay, Pastor Min says, lift my hand. So when you're ready to lift my hand, you're already doing it. Any propensity to go closer to Jesus, any desire to want him, he's already running after you. There's rush of power, rush of blood coming into your heart. He never rejects a genuine gesture of faith. It's not because she did this, right? Because she had faith. She receives the power of Jesus Christ. So do something. All whatever, singing, praying, getting down on your knees, talking to somebody, asking for prayer. All those things are gesture of faith that expresses your heart. And when you do that, there's already a rush of power coming into your heart, into your life. He never rejected a genuine gesture of faith. Never. God honors radical, risk-taking faith. When Noah built an ark, just a simple thing he did. Whole world, right? Sees the picture of salvation, their whole family saved. When Joshua and, Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, just once a day, seventh day, seven times, they just walked and the Jericho fell down. Who can't walk? We can do that. When Moses raised the staff, this is all he did. Moses. Red Sea divided. This boy, I'm going to talk about this tonight, but the boy shares a lunch. This is all he does, lunch. Maybe 15,000, 20,000 people fed. 2,000 years, people have been talking about this boy, unnamed. Usually used by God. So, just any gesture of faith, God will use. HMCC, come with me. Do not quit. Ask for strength. Keep on walking. It's hard, but you're never alone. It will be worth it. Let's go to the second point. That's only the first point. Second point. So that was before the touch, preparing our hearts how to have faith, right? Second, during the touch, what happens when you have faith? Verse 29 and 30. Keep going. All right. Yeah. Three things underneath this point, right? During the touch. First thing that we have to notice is the the most important thing about faith. Am I talking too fast? Okay. Yeah. Too slow? Okay. Pastor Ben, stop talking. All right. First thing is the most important thing about faith is the object of faith. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And then what happens? And Jesus, perceiving himself, the power had gone out. When she did that, power went out. Why? Not anybody else's clothes, but clothes of Jesus. I'm sure she touched many, many other clothes that day she's walking around. But only when she touched the clothes of Jesus, garment of Jesus, power is released. So more important thing about our faith is the object of our faith. You can have some arguably different religions have, religious people have different, more intensive faith than Christians, right? You've seen that, I'm sure, whether it's Muslim, Buddhists or even atheists. They have more faith that there is no God than we have faith about there is God, right? They're so convicted about that. But, you know, no matter how intense you believe in something, right, you have a wrong object, wrong facts, it's useless. But the point of the Bible is even if you have little faith in Jesus, there's impact, right? So I think that's the point of, you know that verse, if you have a faith as small as mustard seed. Mustard seed was the smallest seed known at the time. So Jesus is thinking, what's the smallest thing? Okay, mustard seed, right? So if you have small seed as mustard seed, if you have faith as small as that, you can move the mountain. What does that mean? He's not saying, wow, faith can move. Faith is great. No, what he's saying is the object of faith is great. Even if you have a small faith in the right object, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is so amazing. When he releases stinky little power, it can still move the mountain. So it's, you know, right object of faith is the most important thing. That's what he's saying, verse 30. She touched many clothes that day, but she, this clothes, this garment, it says, at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. So a lot of times we think that when we think about also faith, we think that faith is hard. Having faith is hard, and having faith is like praying, like today. We need to cry and pray to the Lord, but it's not because he's way up there like this, and we have to pray and pray, like climb the mountain or something like that, and go up there, then finally get up there. Only two of you will get up there, and many of you will not make it, or two of you get up there, you get up there, and you touch garment of Jesus and you climb up to his arm and you twist it and say, Jesus, give to me. Okay, and he blesses you or something like that. We think that prayer is like that, but this is totally different when you look at this passage, right? She had faith and all she did was touch. What happens? You can steal the power of Jesus Christ. It's not that he doesn't want to give to you. The problem is no one is touching Jesus. No one is asking. No one is desiring. No one is wanting. That's a problem. Problem is not him. Problem is us. Password is open. There's no password. No secret. Just, you know, connect to him. Release of the power. You know, if you're a parent, one of the things you hate as a parent or when your heart aches, when kids don't eat. And I've seen, I don't know how Indonesian parents are like this, but Korean parents, I've seen Korean parents feeding their children in an amazing way when kids don't eat. Right? Kids don't want to eat. They don't want to eat. They're rebellious. They're strong. They don't want to eat. What happens? Mom is chasing around the kid with a spoon to feed him. And kid is, by this time, for many years, he's been running away. So he goes to under the table and go to the bathroom doing all kinds of things. So mom needs help, so calls the dad. So two people are chasing this kid. And what happens? Now they corner him into the corner, right? He's like this. And there's mom and dad coming. And what does my dad do? Dad grabs the nose. Why? Because there's only three holes in the body, in the face. That's important. So when you grab two, you only have one hole to breathe. You got to breathe. So what happened? When he breathes, now she puts the food into the mouth. So when I see that, I go, wow, that's what God is like. God just wants to feed us, right? in fact, stuff into us His grace, mercy, kindness, all the spiritual blessings in Jesus. God wants to stuff you with His grace, but we're the one that's running away. Well, not only are we running away, we eat manure. We drink urine. We drink poison. Oh, you know, you're full with sin. So He wants to corner you so that you'll be full of His living water, bread of life that will give you health. He wants to stuff into you His grace, mercy, kindness. That's the kind of that we see in the Bible. That's the kind of God that I know. Anytime you want in your rush of His grace, He's feeding you. Divine spoon is coming to your soul, stuffing you with His grace, mercy, forgiveness, kindness. Just desire and want Him. Any gesture of faith is enough. Problem is not Him. Problem is us. Go to Him. Amen? That's what faith is. Another thing about faith here is faith is the condition of the heart. Faith is the condition of the heart. Look at this. Mark chapter 5, verse 28, for she said, if I touch even His garments, thinking, just faith in Jesus. It says, if faith is not in I, if I touch His, faith is in the touch, if I just touch. Faith is not even in the garments. Faith is in what? His. The word His. If I touch His garment. Why is faith the condition of heart? Because we have two natures, sinful nature, we have spirit's nature. Sinful part of our heart, spirit's part of our heart. We're born with just sinful heart, but when we are born again, put our faith in Him, what happens? Holy Spirit gives us birth. This is how a Korean baby cries. How does an Indonesian baby cry? Huh? Safe? Safe? Oh, same. Okay, something like that. Okay, what happens? You're born again. You're spiritually alive. That's when you started to, you know, just believe, worship. I don't know, something different happened to you. It might not be different, but different desires started to come out. You have different nature, meaning different desire. You actually like worshiping. If you actually like listening to sermon, if it's 20 minutes or something like that. You actually like to, you know, have fellowship with other people. You came alive spiritually. That's probably when you're born again, right? Because your spiritual nature comes alive. So then you have two nature, two desires. Then you have two thoughts. Sometimes you have these thoughts that will stimulate your sin nature. Oh, do this, live for yourself. Or you start to listen to God's words into your mind. Then what happens? You have these thoughts that are spiritual. I got to do this, but I can't do that. So there's battle in your mind, battle in your heart. That's a Christian. Christian is not someone who doesn't sin. Christian is someone who fights sin, right? Because there's no battle. Christians sin, but Christians always can be forgiven again and again and again and again and again. You can go to the cross again and again and again and again and again. It's not born again once, it's over, oh, no more sin. No. Born again, sin still remains. In fact, you still sin and sin's nature still grows, but your spirit nature outgrows it to overcome and fight, and you can make decisions that are better. You can say no to your sins, but Christian is someone who doesn't sin. Christian is someone who fights sin. Christian is not someone who doesn't sin. Christian is someone who fights sin. Someone who knows their sin. Someone who wants to hate sin. Someone who loves sin, but someone who wants to hate sin. So because there's two nature battle and two thoughts. That's why faith is a condition of the heart. Because when you're in these thoughts, this nature stimulated, no faith. When you're in this thought, biblical thought, and this nature stimulated, you're in faith. So heart is alive, right? So you got to be in condition of faith. Well, right now you go, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to even try to be blessed because I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be emotionally hyped up. And then what happens? 2 weeks later, I'm going to fall again. So I'm not going to, that's condition of heart that is no faith, right? But faith goes, hey, I'm going to fall again. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to receive His grace because between the fall, I'm going to grow through this process. In fact, even if I fall, I can go to the Lord again. Jesus will forgive me again and again and again and again and again as he's chasing me to stuff his grace upon me. I'm just going to open my mouth. I'm not going to drink urine anymore. I'm not going to eat manure anymore. I'm going to eat the bread of life. I'm going to drink the living water of Jesus. Lord, help me, strengthen me so that I can grow in Jesus Christ. You're always forgiven, and one day your sin nature will be gone when Jesus returns. You only have spirit's nature that's going to be alive, right? And life is about this growing, this nature growing, because this is what we receive reward with. According to Jonathan Edwards' idea, life is about this growing in our spirit's nature. So what happens? In heaven, reward means he's pouring himself. So greater bowl of your heart, greater joy you have in Jesus Christ. So in this life is important because you need to grow in your spirit's nature, grow in your heart in love for Jesus so that you can receive more of his grace eternally. That's what reward is. Okay? So that's what this life is about. And then in our life, we live for him, we serve him, we show him so that other people can receive more of Christ. Then what happens? He's glorified, he's honored, he's strengthened, he's shown. Life is about eternal maximum glory of God and our eternal joy in Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you still listening? So condition of the heart. Faith is a condition of the heart. Let me illustrate to you what that looks like. Peter, right? Disciples were in the boat. Jesus was walking on water. They think it's a ghost. They don't know what it is. So Peter is the courageous one with faith. He goes, Jesus, if it's you, let me walk on water. He says that, right? If I was Peter, I would say, Lord, because you don't know whether that's Jesus or not. So, Lord, if it's you, let Judas walk on water. I would have said that, right? But he goes, Lord, if it's you, let me walk on water. How? What kind of faith Peter had? So what happens? When he looks at Jesus, what happens? Jesus says what? Well, Jesus says, come. You know why Peter was able to walk on water? Because Jesus said, come. Because Jesus, word of Jesus has power. So when he obeyed that, he was able to do the miracle. It was not because he had power. Jesus said, come. And when the word of Jesus went into his heart, through the ears, his heart, condition of faith, right? Faith, faith, faith. So Jesus is enabling, right? Faith. So he's walking on water. He's looking at Jesus. He told me to come, so I'm going to come. Jesus, 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 faith. But what happens? He looks at the winds and the waves, not Jesus. Winds and the waves. Then what happens? He's remembering what his, instead of words of Jesus, he's remembering what his science teacher said. There's something called gravity. And you can't walk on water. And then body heavier than water and gravity pulls, you know, there's no resistance, whatever. And you go under. No faith. Faith, faith, faith on water, no faith, no faith, right? Faith is a condition of the heart, amen? You see it? So always think the correct thoughts. I'm not talking about brainwashing, well, kind of, because the world washes you with a worldly thought, wrong thoughts, lies, limited. So scientific facts are true. But those are the laws that God has instituted in this world. But there are so many other laws other than the scientific laws. It's so limited. There's also spiritual laws that can defy science. So science itself is what God has instituted, but there's other realm, right, that God has given. Dead can be raised, sick can be healed, and then we can walk on water. Not everyone, but few, if God enables, so that God can show the eternal power, eternal cleansing, eternal healing that's coming, eternal defying of the nature that is in rebellion against man. God is showing that through these miracles. So faith is a condition. Whatever God's word says, understand in a correct way and believe. And just live according to it. Amen? Faith is a condition of the heart. So even now, you know, you may, again, like, believe. Believe in the promises of God, one degree to another. When you pray, you gotta be hungry. You gotta have the heart in condition of faith, right thought, not wrong thought, right? And I believe when your heart is in condition of faith, that's when you receive the power of Jesus Christ, healing of Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is saying, right? Faith is a condition, right object, Jesus Christ. Faith is a condition of the heart. Now, at this moment, I believe in Jesus. And then what happens? And then what happens is that, you know, we can receive the power of Jesus Christ. Let me talk about this here. Yeah, I usually don't encourage all the time charismatic stuff, but I'll talk about this. You know, many years ago when I pray for people as a pastor, and I started to experience this. When I pray for people, I can physically experience, I don't know how to explain, something, some kind of electricity coming down or something, but when I pray for people, I can physically experience something coming down to that person when they have faith. When their heart is in condition of faith and they're hungry, they're receiving in faith, they're hungry, then God's blessing them, right? So when I touch my hands upon them, then what happens? I can experience this grace or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, just something coming down to them. So I can tell whether they're hungry, whether they're receiving God's grace, or their heart is in condition of faith at the moment. Or sometimes when you sin and when you're not, you know, seeking the Lord, it gets clogged up, right? So it's coming down and it's clogged up. So basically their mouth is not open. God wants to stuff them, but, you know, like this, because they've been eating, drinking urine and eating manure, you know, stuff like that. So it's clogged up. They're full of other things. So they have to repent and they have to, you know, seek right thoughts. Then what happens? It gets unclogged up to receive God's grace, right? That's what happens. So come on, you know, come on, unclog it. You know, I want to tell them. So what I do, I pray for them and I unclog it together, clean it together so that the path is open. They're unclogged and to receive God's blessing. That's what's going to happen throughout this retreat. Amen? Because and you're going to get hungry for God's grace and you're going to receive. So, I prayed for the person who was most hungry, I felt like. I can remember a few people. One person in Gambia. Gambia is one of the small countries in Africa, and West Africa. It's a small country. It's so poor and so small, it only has one highway like this, at least at the time. And I'm so bad with direction, even I got lost in that. Okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I chose the wrong path and went to the wrong side of the country. But anyway, it was that kind of country, and I remember doing a revival meeting, I don't know, 20-some years ago or something like that, and I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. I was praying for this person in the morning prayer, and this guy was like just drinking God's grace. And I was like getting electrocuted. So I want to go home, go to eat breakfast, but he just kept praying. So I had to, I've been praying for like 2 hours. I don't know, it might have been an hour, but it felt like 2 hours. He was so hungry. And I pray that every one of you will be hungry like that through this retreat. Just receive his grace, mercy, strength, power. And one day I was thinking about, why do I experience that? It's not experience of everyone. Some people might be like that, but why do I experience that? This is what I thought as I look into the scripture. I think the reason why God let me experience that is because whether I lay hand or not, right? Whether I lay hand or not, that's happening. So whoever's hungry right now, like this passage, nobody knew that was happening to her, but that was happening, right? If I were to touch her at that time, I was probably getting electrocuted. Right? But the reason why I think God let me experience that is because whether I do this or not, that's happening, but they don't know. So when I do this, when that happens, they will know. Hey, it's when I touch you, I know that God is blessing you right now. God is blessing you. But you have to understand, when your heart condition is like this, whether I'm touching you or not, that's happening, so that they'll be encouraged to continuously pray throughout the time. I realize, so I need to tell them when that happens. Because the difference between Jesus in this passage and me is that Jesus is the source. I'm just an instrument. I'm just in between. I'm just a mailman. Or I'm just a straw. I think straw is, straw? I'm just through me, like God is blessing them, but through me, they're drinking the grace of God. I'm just a straw. So tell them, stroking, oh, I see a cold thing come. Yeah, God's blessing you. Yeah, you're drinking, right? The grace of God. I pray that you know whenever your heart is in condition of faith, right? Not what your science teacher said, not what you're thinking. In faith, God is pouring his grace upon you. Can we hear amen to that? Every day. You can experience that every day. What this woman is experiencing, you can experience every day. And then what happens? Faith exchanges, right? Not just releases, but exchanges. Meaning, when she had faith, and what happens? Her suffering, bleeding problem, gone, going out of her, gone, right? But that's not the only thing that happens. That is happening, but also something of Jesus, his righteousness, his power is coming into her. So it's not just one way. A lot of times we think that believing in Jesus Christ is negation of our sin or getting rid of our sin or addiction, our problem. That's just a part of it. We gain Christ's righteousness, power, we gain a lot more. There's incredible exchange that takes place. Look at this, verse 29 and 30, right? Immediately blood dries up. So her suffering, her sickness is going, but Jesus perceiving himself, the power had gone out from him. So something from Jesus came into her as well. Two-way flow. Meaning when she touches him with faith, there's collision that took place in between Jesus and the woman. Flow of her suffering was going into Jesus, and the power of Jesus was coming into her. This is a glimpse of the cosmic collision, spiritual cosmic collision on the cross. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, all of our sins going to him. Isaiah 53 says, on him, all of our iniquities on him. Right? And then what happens? All of his forgiveness and power, righteousness, his clothes coming into us. Cosmic exchange. He takes her suffering. She takes his power. Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes we are healed. So she's going to be healed because of the stripes of Jesus, suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. He receives the beating and she receives her healing. Her bleeding stops and his bleeding will start when he goes on the cross. Here's my question to you. Are you touching Jesus right now? You know, the author is very intentional. Look at this. Look at these verses. Go. Okay. 521. A great crowd gathered around him. 524. A great crowd followed him. 531, you see crowd pressing around you. He's saying to disciples, who touched me? And disciples go, Lord, so many people are touching you. What are you talking about? I think the author is intentional that so many people were there. So many people were touching Jesus. But only one touched Jesus with this kind of faith to receive this healing. I don't know, 100 people here? How many people will touch Jesus in such a way that you will receive the power of Jesus Christ? You got to learn to touch Jesus this way. Amen? With faith. Only one woman out of hundreds of people pressing around Jesus, only one woman touched Jesus like this. Everyone could have. Only one woman touched Jesus like this with the condition of her heart in faith to receive the power of Jesus Christ. HMCC, come with me. Do not quit. Ask for strength. Keep on walking. It's hard, but you're never alone, and it will be worth it. Let's go to the third, last point. After the touch. Jesus. Verse 30. Perceiving himself that power had gone out from him, he asked this odd question. Who touched my garments? Why did he ask that question? I think he wanted her to give testimony. He could have just looked at her and, look at me, please. I know, sorry. Look at me once again. He could have just looked at her. Yeah. Like that, you know, he could have done that. He wanted other people to hear what had happened. Who touched me? Because when God wants to save somebody, God wants to heal this world, God wants to redeem this world, he could have used angels, he could have used donkeys, he could have used insects, he could have just wrote in the sky the gospel. But he chose to use us as his instrument. People who have been healed. That we become healers. Ones who are saved so that we can be used to save others. God used the Church of Jesus Christ. God uses his people individually and corporately. So for some reason, to represent him. Right? So that's why he asked this question. So, Jesus wants to use us. So, be healed to be healers. Amen? So, Jesus asks this question. The woman's response is kind of odd. Verse 33. It says, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she knows. Jesus knows. Now she knows that Jesus knows. She was thinking that Jesus doesn't know. Like, steal the power of Jesus, I'm going to run away home. But knowing what had happened to her, oh, now Jesus knows, came in fear, trembling and fell down before him. Why was she scared? I think this is what she was thinking, because whatever she touches become unclean. She was probably thinking, I made him unclean, and he knows. I defiled the man of God. That's what she's thinking, and she thought she's in trouble, could be sued and maybe killed. Who knows? I'm dead. I've defiled the man of God. Let me say this. If she thought this, and I believe she was thinking something along with that, if she thought this, she understood the gospel. Because it is our sins that Jesus is being unclean. All of our sins on him. Because the Father, God the Father, has put all of our sins on Jesus Christ. We defile the man of God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of our sins on him, all of his righteousness on us. And woman is scared because she understood the gospel. Right? But she's healed because of this understanding. She defiles the man of God so Jesus Christ can cleanse her, make her righteous. She receives the healing so that she can tell other people. Testimony, here we go. Verse 33, told him the whole truth. Mark is emphasizing how she is talking to Jesus, but Luke, same passage, is emphasizing how she told everyone. Go, keep going. Luke is emphasizing, in the presence of all the people, she tells this so that you know, other people can be healed. So, testimony is great because three things happens. Testimony, it strengthened her faith. She's been useless for 12 years. Now she's being used by Jesus. She couldn't even wash the dishes. Now she's being used to wash the hearts of people, lives of people. Amazing. It strengthens her faith. Dignity gives her dignity. Strengthens other people. Her testimony would strengthen other people, probably including Jairus. The official is watching this so that when they go, wow, the one who can heal her can raise my daughter, strengthening his faith, strengthening other people. And of course, it glorifies God. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the days of trouble. I will deliver you. Be healed, and you shall glorify me. That's exactly what happens. I love this verse in Galatians chapter 1, verse 24. And they glorify. This is what Paul, after he gives his testimony, he used to kill Christians. Now he is used as a missionary who make Christians, right? And then when he gives testimony, this is what he says, verse 24. They glorify God because of me, because of his testimony, because of what God has done, because of the healing that God has given me. They glorify God because of me. I pray that that will happen, that you'll be healed, to become healers. I love a verse in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Jonah, you know Jonah, running away from God. Big fish swallows him. He repents. Chapter 3, he spit it out in Nineveh. He preaches, greatest revival in history. Assyrians coming to know the Lord. I love this verse. And the turning point is in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. First time he came, he ran away. He didn't preach it. But when he repents in chapter 2, now chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time so that he can preach that to Nineveh for the greatest revival. I love this verse. Jonah failed for the first time, but Jonah is given, forgiven, and given second chance to be restored. This is a picture of humanity. First failure of humanity in Adam. But God forgives us. God's giving us second chance. Our whole life is a second chance because we are in Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is what God does with us. He's restoring us to use us for His glory. Do not quit on God because He never quits on you. He is not only repairing you, but He's always preparing you. He's not just repairing you. He's always preparing you. He heals you so that you can become healers for Him. Revival happens not with great people, but forgiven people. Okay? Remember that. Pastor Andrew might know this. Like, I don't know, 20 years ago there was a song called Touch of the Master's Hands. Probably none of you know it. It's a long time ago, 20 years ago, Christian song. You know it? Yeah. Old guys know. Touch of the Master's Hands. Basically, it's about this poor girl who has nothing to eat, so she has to sell her violin given by her parents and sell it to eat. So she gives that to an auction. You know what auction is, right? Auction, selling things through betting of the money. So she gives that to an auctioneer, and the auctioneer takes the violin, and old violin. He goes, oh, how much? Some person says, $1, $2, $3, right? It's a little amount of money. And then what happens, and from the crowd, an old man, you know, comes out walking like this. And he takes the violin and cleans it a little bit, tunes it a little bit, and he starts to play. When he starts to play, the music is amazing. So after that, auctioneer goes again. How much? He goes, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. And the point of the song is, what made the difference? It was a touch of the master's hand. That old man was a master violinist. And when he cleaned and played, it was amazing violin that was used by this amazing violinist that raised the value. When we touch Jesus, He touches us. He's going to use us for His glory. Jesus is powerful. You have to see that. Jesus, how great and awesome, powerful He is. We're going to see one more video. This guy named Steve Harvey in a crowd. He's going to act like if Jesus was to come second time, how he would introduce Jesus Christ for the second coming of Christ. And he does this. Let's watch this. All right. Let's pray. Yeah. Touch Him. He will pour His grace. He's touching you so that little rusty, little marred with sin, but He's going to cleanse us. And He's going to use us. Our testimony has become beautiful song, beautiful music. Songs of salvation, tunes of redemption through us. All of us together, we sing in this world, as we in our workplaces, in our family. Beautiful salvation song of Jesus Christ, redemption song of Jesus Christ in the world. We're going to rise. We're going to rise again. Go to the cross. Be cleansed. Rise again. We're going to shine.